Good evening, welcome to the Old Time Dragnet Show. This is your host, Adam Graham, coming to you once again from Boise, Idaho. And I see we've got Kay Willis dialed in and listening, and it's good to have you on. And thanks so much for tuning in.
Thank you very much.
All right, well, we're going to get started in just a moment. I encourage everybody to visit our blog, dragnetradio.blogspot.com. That's where the show notes are. Also, feel free to email me, adam@adamsweb.us. Continue to check it out there. And please cast your vote for us on Podcast Alley. We're having a very nice month on Podcast Alley. We're up to number 63, which is highest-ranked we've ever been at. Here's some of the comments here. You have one great show worth waiting for. Thanks for the podcast from DCTR Pangalos. Comment, I love it. I'm a neuroscientist and work by myself all day. Old Time Dragnet has been a wonderful supplement to my NPR addiction and keeps me going on the longer days. I am finally caught up and miss having more than one a week. Keep them coming. And if you happen to be caught up and want more Old Time Radio, we do have the Old Time Radio Superman show. I don't think it's quite as intellectually stimulating, but it's pretty fun. And you can just do a search for that, either go to TalkShoe or go online to iTunes, and you can search for it there as well. And got an email actually from Christy Ellis. Writes, I love the show. I listen every week. You were spot on about the ads. I bought a CD off eBay containing MP3s of the old time radio dragnets with the commercials intact. They add no value and are a little annoying. I enjoy the commercials in other shows, but Fatima cigarettes, the best of all long cigarettes, drives me batty, and I end up fast-forwarding through them on the CD to make it more like your podcast, in case there's a show I missed. Otherwise, I just listen to your podcast. On an unrelated note, do you always know if Dragnet was always broadcast, transcribed, or if it was ever broadcast live? Thanks for the efforts. Keep it up. I think most of the early shows were live. That was the general radio tradition. I think particularly that one episode where they actually went out and they recorded it at the wharf, had to be live, because the sound that we got out of that was just so messed up. I don't think they would have done it if it had been recorded. Those are the emails. Please keep them coming. Oh, I got another one from, I believe it's a Jason. He says that, I love the show. I travel the world and am frequently in the air and love to listen while flying. In fact, I was just headed to Prague last week and popped in your show into my iPod. So, Jack Webb at 35,000 feet. Thanks so much, Jason. Yeah, 35,000 feet. Wow, we're going places. We're going up high. All right, well, we're going to go ahead and take a listen to today's show. It's The Big Grandma, and it's another Czech writing show. It's kind of fascinating because they've had a few of those, I think in the last couple of months this will be the third show that has had at least an element of Czech writing in it. So apparently it was a little bit pervasive at the time of the show was done. So we're going to get started here with The Big Grandma. And we'll be back right after this.
The story you are about to hear is true. Only the names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Fatima Cigarettes, best of all long cigarettes, brings you Dragnet.
You're a detective sergeant. You're assigned to forgery detail. An accomplished check forger resumes operations in your city. The suspect's described as a middle-aged woman. She's written more than $20,000 in bad checks. Your job, get her.
Dragnet, the documented drama of an actual crime. For the next 30 minutes, in cooperation with the Los Angeles Police Department, you will travel step by step on the side of the law through an actual case from official police files. From beginning to end, from crime to punishment, Dragnet is the story of your police force in action.
It was Monday, April 17th. It was warm in Los Angeles. We were working the day watch out of forgery detail. My partner's Ben Romero. The boss is Captain Elliott. My name's Friday. I was on the way back into work, and it was 7:53 a.m. when I got to room 29. Forgery detail.
Morning, Joe.
Hi. How'd the weekend go?
Oh, pretty slow. Stayed home, did some gardening.
How about that new lawn you put in? How's it doing?
If we want a lawn, we're going to have to move.
What's the matter now?
Same old thing.
Gophers?
Must be hundreds of them. So many holes at the top of the lawn, looks like an old punch board.
Oh, that's too bad. Can't you try some kind of poison on them? How about those new things they got out? What do they call them? Gopher bombs?
I use them by the dozen. They eat anything.
Joe? Ben?
Yeah, Ferguson.
Morning, Captain. Let's see
you. Okay.
What's up, Fergie?
You ain't gonna like it.
Hmm?
Skipper will brief you.
Morning, Skipper.
Hi. Have a seat.
Yeah, thanks.
You two finished up with the Benson case yesterday, is that right?
Yeah, it's all washed up. We're clear.
Good. Then you can start on this one right away. You worked with Frank Besser and Ferguson here.
Mm-hmm. What is it?
Grandma.
I had a hunch, Joe.
What have we done to deserve this?
It's nothing any of us have done. It's what we haven't done. I want to stop once and for all.
Are we any closer to her than we have been, Fergie?
Just about the same, Joe.
That's why I'm putting two more of you on it. How well do you know the case?
Well, just what we've heard around the office.
Same here. I could stand some briefing.
Ferguson?
Well, you must have heard how she operates. 3 months out of the year, April, October, and December, that's all.
She's never been known to change that schedule?
Not as far as I know. She's been doing it the same for 9 years.
All the phony checks she cashes are personal checks.
That's right. She never writes them less than $2 and never more than 100.
9 years. She been going that long?
9 and a half. It'll be an even 10 this October. You want to check them out on the totals, Ferguson?
Mm-hmm. Up to and including the first of this month, she's cashed 1,273 checks. The total's a little over $22,000.
Mm-hmm. Anything special about the way she writes the checks? Mm-hmm.
Nothing but the signatures. There's an alias list down there that'll knock your eye out. More than 200 different names.
Her description's still the same, about 50 years old, kind of plump, nice face.
And a few minor changes. Last year, she had gray hair, dressed very plain. This year, she dyed her hair black, dresses a little more expensively.
9 years. That's a long streak of luck for any paper hanger.
That's just it. This old gal's not just an ordinary paper hanger. She's no amateur, don't get me wrong, but she doesn't operate like any check forger I've ever known. She contradicts part of her M.O., part of it she doesn't. She takes chances an ordinary paper hanger would never take, and she gets away with them. Take a look at just one of these exhibits.
Yeah?
This one here. 28 checks passed on the same chain of grocery stores, same company.
She passed them all in 1 month?
No, that's just the point. 2 years ago, she passed 14 of them, spread them out over a period of a month. Last year, she passed another batch of 14, all within 3 days. 1 year, she used a different name on each check. On this batch, she used the same name.
Well, does she have any identification when she passes these checks?
Always. Phony driver's license, social security cards, it works. And she's got that sweet grandmother smile of hers. Clerks rarely turn her down when she shows up with a check.
You can get used to different descriptions of her, too. Give the file a look. Hardly three of the check victims can get together on what she looks like, exactly.
Where are they getting stung most, downtown or out in the neighborhoods?
The neighborhoods, anywhere from the beach area to the valley.
This whole file, Skipper, that's not just her work, is it?
Every last bit of it. We can't fit it in a 6-foot shelf. In 9 years, I've had 5 teams of men work this thing. None of them reached her. You and Friday make the 6th.
Well, it's April 17th. How's she doing so far this month, Ferdinand?
Cashed $624 in checks we know of since the first of the month. Same general description, same general M.O.
No fresh leads?
She's been operating 9 years, Joe.
Yeah?
Just as good as ever.
To the working detective, there's no tougher job than tracking a lawbreaker who's half professional and half amateur. You can expect a criminal who's entirely professional to react generally the same in a given set of circumstances. And the same with the amateur. But take the two, the professional and the amateur, and intermingle their possible and probable reactions. You'll likely have a sound reason why and how an elderly woman could victimize merchants with $20,000 in bad checks over a period of 9 years without being caught. Grandma, as she'd come to be known, worked only 3 months out of each year, April, October, and December. Her apparent fine sense of timing and her knowledge of psychology was far and away superior to that of the ordinary paper hanger. If the file on Grandma was any indication, she apparently had been born to be a successful check forger. After Ben and I spent 3 days on the case with Sergeants Ferguson and Besser, we were almost convinced that there was only one way we could reach the suspect. She had to make a mistake.
Fergie, how'd you do?
Pretty sorry. 4 checks in 2 days. What'd you fellas get?
2. Don Meyer checked the signatures. They're all hers.
Mm-hmm. Here's our list if you're interested.
Mm-hmm.
Meat market out in Pico, $25. Grocery in West Hollywood, $48. 2 department stores downtown, $100 apiece.
How do they describe the woman?
Same old yarn. She was a nice, charming little lady, about 55 or 60. Small, dark hair, graying. Dark eyes, nice smile. Clerk told me she reminded him of his mother.
Yeah.
How'd you make out on those two of yours?
All about the same. Even the story about her looking like somebody's mother.
Well, one thing, sure. Her timing's just as good as it was 9 years ago.
Downtown Merchants Association's screaming again. They're looking for action.
So are we.
You talk to Captain today?
Yeah, he's looking for action, too. I don't know what we can do unless we get some kind of cooperation from the merchants. Every time the old gal pushes a bum check, it's 3 or 4 days before it gets to the bank and we hear about it. The trail's pretty cold by then.
Yeah, Joe and I were talking just before you came in for it. We can't expect too much to happen the way we're going.
Any ideas?
More men and more stakeouts. The captain says he'll buy that. It's about all we can do.
Another 10 days and April will be over. Graham, I'll be through pushing checks till October again.
I don't know, Joe. Her formula's too perfect for me. There's got to be a flaw in it someplace.
Yeah. You got out a bulletin of that revised description of her for you?
Yeah, it's all taken care of. Special notices were mailed out to the merchants, too.
Again?
Yeah.
Forgery, Romero. That's it. Was that? That's all. Yeah, right away. Thank you. Supermarket on Temple Street. Grandma. Hit him with 2 checks.
Any leads?
Clerk says you remind him of his mother.
A week passed. The number of stakeouts on business places throughout the city was doubled. The M.O. and description of the suspect was circulated among the merchants in the downtown and suburban shopping centers. Clerks were especially warned to be on the lookout for. The precautions went for nothing. Grandma's checks kept showing up at the rate of 2 and 3 a day. On April 27th, she passed a check for $50 at the delicatessen on Hollywood Boulevard. We drove out to interview the owner, Mr. Hammerstein.
Do you have one of those circulars we sent out on this woman?
Well, I'm ashamed to say it, Sergeant, but I have. Hanging right back there in the storeroom. The thing of it is, I never connected the two, the woman and the notice. It's the way she looks at you, you know? Like you'd be a heel to even question her.
Mm-hmm. How was she dressed the last time she was in? Do you remember that?
Well, she had kind of a plain black coat on.
Well?
Would you excuse me a minute? I don't like to keep customers waiting.
Oh, sure, go ahead. Yes.
How are you, Mrs. Lyons?
Need some cold meat for kids' lunches. What do you got nice and fresh?
You see right there in the case, head cheese is very fresh. Good for the kiddies. Pimento roast, nice, too.
Oh, kids don't like either one. Fussy. You better give me 35 cents for that small bologna, would you?
Yes, ma'am.
Kids are so fussy nowadays.
Yeah.
Ought to be in Europe. That's what I tell them. They know what it is to go hungry.
Mm.
Oh, you better give me a couple of those large kosher pickles, too. Husband's crazy for them.
Yes, ma'am.
And a loaf of the rye, too, would you know, seeds?
Yes, ma'am. How are the kiddies doing in school, Mrs. Lyons?
Oh, fine, fine. Marilyn's in the school pageant next month. She's going to be the queen.
Oh, that's nice.
Well, I don't know how nice it is. More work. That's all. I have to make her costume.
There you are, Mrs. Lyons. Put it on the bill?
Yeah, would you do that? I'll see you the 15th of the month.
Yes, ma'am. Goodbye.
Uh-huh. Goodbye.
Sorry to keep you waiting, officer.
Not at all.
I see now. Where was I?
Well, we asked you how the woman was dressed.
Oh, yeah. Had a black coat on. I told you that.
Yes, sir.
Very plain-looking clothes. Like any other housewife, print dress, some kind of a scarf around the neck. Well, that's about all I noticed.
How about that description of her in the bulletin we sent you? That fit her pretty well?
Yeah, I guess so. She didn't exactly seem plump to me, though. Kind of a nice figure for a woman of her age.
Mm-hmm. You know if any of your customers were acquainted with her?
I wouldn't know that. She acted as though she knew some of them, but now that this has happened, I can see she was just putting on. She was a great disappointment to me.
Yes, she is to a lot of people.
I used to josh with her all the time. I'm a widower, you know. Thought once or twice I might even date her up.
That's so?
Yeah, she seemed like a real good sport, joshing all the time, fine personality, just as homey as you please.
Well, that fits in with the other descriptions.
Are you ever going to catch somebody like that?
2 days later, on April 30th, right on schedule, the flow of bogus checks in Grandma's handwriting suddenly stopped. If she continued to work by the same timetable she'd been using for the last 9 years, she wouldn't start operations again until the 1st of October. During the next 5 months that followed, from May to the end of September, Besser, Ferguson, Ben, and I handled the usual run of check cases. At the same time, we used up every spare hour we had making preparations for the suspect's next appearance. Every businessman throughout the city who might be a possible victim was alerted. A revised description of the suspect, together with her M.O., was printed up and given wide distribution. Every possible precaution was taken. October came. Grandma started on the 10th year of her forgery career without a hitch. On October 1st, she cashed a check for $75 at a large downtown women's shop. As soon as we got the report, we went to the department where the check had been received. A fashion show was in progress.
Notice the pencil thin skirt and the
dolphin
three-quarter sleeve.
Excuse me. Are you Mr. Montrose?
Yes? What is it?
Police officer, sir. Forgery detail.
Oh, yes, that check. I wonder if you could hold on for just a moment.
Yes, sir.
This is Janice Forgan next. She wears a crown of striking originality with rich and simple lines. A black dinner dress. The satin skirt with handmade points. Sculptured silk and latex
feather
top with an oval neckline punctuated with ball fringe.
Hey, Joe.
Hmm?
What kind of outfit is that the model's
wearing? I don't know.
Not much to it.
All right, officers. Would you like to step this way, please?
Okay.
This is my office here. Well, I don't know what I can do for you, gentlemen. The check was passed. Very unfortunate occurrence.
You okayed the check for cashing, is that correct?
Yes, the sales girl handled the transaction. She showed me the check. I knew the signature, so I okayed it.
Mary Walker?
Yes, that's how his check was signed.
What kind of identification did the woman have?
Her charge account plate. You know, the small metal card? Charger plates, we call
yes.
them. I recognized that from the signature immediately.
You know this Mary Walker pretty well?
She's one of our best customers.
You are listening to Dragnet, authentic stories of your police force in action.
Friday, October 4th, 2 p.m. Before we left the store, we found that another worthless check bearing the signature Mary Walker had been cashed in a different department store the same day. The woman had used the same means of identification, a metal charge account plate stamped with the name Mary Walker. We took the two checks back to the office and had Don Meyer in handwriting compare the signatures. There wasn't any doubt in his mind. The writing on both checks was Grandma's. Well, it was only a hunch, but it was beginning to look as though the suspect had finally done what we'd been waiting 9 years for to do. She'd made a mistake. Ben and I drove out to an address in the Wilshire District to interview Mrs. Mary Walker. She fit the same general description of the suspect, but she denied writing either one of the checks which bore her signature.
It's out of the question, Sergeant. I couldn't have written the check. I haven't even been in the city for the past 5 days.
Then the signatures on these two checks here, Mrs. Walker, they're not yours.
It looks like my handwriting, but it's not. I didn't write those checks. They're forgeries.
Yes, ma'am. You do have a charge account at the store, don't you, ma'am?
Oh, yes. I've had an account there for years. Nothing like this has ever happened, though.
You have one of those charge account plates?
Well, yes, I did have one.
You lent it to someone in your family?
No, as a matter of fact, I lost it. I meant to report it to the store, but it slipped my mind.
Do you have any idea where and when you might have lost it?
Well, I think it was last Sunday night. I'm not sure. Oh, Well, just a minute. I know who would remember. Annette Lambert, she was there. I'm sure she'll remember.
Who's she, ma'am?
Girlfriend of mine. She lives in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Annette. Mary Walker, Annette. Oh, just fine. And you? Oh, good. Say, Inez, which night was it we went to the Boosters Club meeting Sunday? Yes, I thought that it was. Oh, nothing. Just some silly misunderstanding. Yeah, well, all right, Inez. Thanks for remembering for me. Yes, goodbye. It was Sunday night, Sergeant. Inez Lambert and I went to the neighborhood Boosters Club meeting. I'm sure that's where I must have lost it.
Well, you think the charge account plate fell out of your purse, is that it?
Well, either that or it was taken.
Why do you say that, ma'am?
Well, it's a serious thing. I didn't want to mention it.
What's that?
I left my purse on the chair next to me a part of the evening. When I got home, I thought I was missing a $5 bill from my change purse. I didn't notice at the time my charger plate was gone.
Do you remember who was at that meeting, Miss Walker?
Oh, 40 or 50 people at least.
How many women would you say?
Dozen or so, I suppose. I'm not accusing anybody of robbery, Sergeant. I know it's a serious charge to make.
Do you know if one of the club officers might have taken a list of those present?
Oh, they didn't have to. We do the same thing at every meeting.
What's that, ma'am?
We all sign the attendance book when we leave.
3 p.m. Ben and I contacted the secretary of the neighborhood Boosters Club. He gave us a list of those present at the Sunday night meeting of the club. As Mary Walker told us, each person present had signed his or her name and address in the attendance book. We took the record downtown with us and had Don Meyer compare each signature on the list with samples of Grandma's handwriting.
Number 32 on the list, fellas. That's it.
Positive, Mink?
No doubt in my mind. That's Grandma's handwriting.
How'd she sign it?
Mrs. Inez Lambert.
Went down the hall to R&I and had him check the name Inez Lambert through the files. She had no criminal record. Together with Besser and Ferguson, Ben and I spent the next day and a half trailing Inez Lambert wherever she went. She fitted the description of the suspect perfectly. We questioned her friends and her neighbors. We dug back into every corner of her life for the past 10 years. The results were pretty amazing. We found that she was highly respected by everybody she knew. She was active in a dozen civic and church organizations. Her reputation was spotless. There was only one hitch. Mrs. Lambert's hobby was charities. By checking back, we found that during the past 10 years, she donated an average of $3,000 annually to various charitable organizations. Her husband's total annual income was $7,000. From her bank, we obtained specimens of Inez Lambert's handwriting. It matched almost perfectly with every signature in the grandma file. Monday, October 7th, Ben and I called on Mrs. Lambert.
Oh, yes, officers, won't you come in? Mary Walker was telling me about you. Come in, please.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Mary told me about the things missing from her purse at the meeting. Is that what you're inquiring about?
Yes, ma'am. We've got a few other questions to ask you besides that.
Well, you sort of caught me at a bad time, just getting ready to put some baking in the oven for dinner tonight. Would you mind very much if we talked back in the kitchen? I've got to get this done.
No, not at all, ma'am.
It's back this way. Oh, there goes my cream sauce again, boiled over. Just take a chair there, officers. I'll be right with you.
Thank you. Thanks.
This cream sauce is so temperamental, can't take your eye off it for a minute. There. Shouldn't boil over now. Do either of you officers care for a cup of cocoa? Chilly out today.
Well, no, thank you, ma'am. We only have a few questions for you. It won't take long.
Yes? All right. Would you mind holding this bowl just a minute, Sergeant?
Oh, yes.
I just have to get this in the oven for dinner. My husband's favorite dessert. It's called pinch pie. Kind of a meringue tart.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. Take 2 eggs, I guess. Mm-hmm, there we are. Get these egg whites beaten up nice and light. That cup of sugar on the sink, Sergeant. Would you be so kind?
Yeah, all right. There's your sugar, ma'am.
Thank you. Now, what is it you wanted to know?
Mrs. Walker had her charge account plate stolen that night at the Boosters Club meeting. Somebody's been using it to cash bad checks in her name.
Is that so? Mary didn't tell me that.
The same person who's using that charger plate has been cashing bad checks all over the city. He's been doing it for some time.
Oh, my. Well, I don't think I can help you, Sergeant. I went to that meeting with Mary. She says somebody must have been in her purse, but I didn't see them.
Do you have that charge account plate, Mrs. Lambert?
Me? Oh, no, I have my own. Now, let me see. Teaspoon vanilla, teaspoon vinegar, teaspoon water combined in a small pitcher or cup.
We've got good reason to believe you have that charge account plate, ma'am. Did you take it from Mrs. Walker?
That's a silly thing for you to say, Sergeant. I told you I have my own charge plate. I never borrow anyone else's, no reason to. Add a few drops of combined liquid to be constantly.
Did you cash two checks last week and sign them with Mrs. Walker's name?
Why, of course not. Why should I do such a thing? Mary Walker's one of my best friends. I wouldn't do that to her, even as a joke.
Well, our handwriting man compared the signatures on those two checks, Mrs. Lambert. Both of them match your handwriting.
And all of the ingredients have been added. Continue to beat the meringue for several minutes. Oh, I'm sorry. What was that you said, Sergeant?
I said that the signatures on those two forged checks, our handwriting man compared them with specimens of your signature. They both match.
Well, then your handwriting man certainly made a mistake. Oh, there's a large white platter up in that cupboard there. Would you reach it for me, please?
All right. There you are, ma'am.
Well, thank you.
Now, you deny that you wrote those two forged checks last week? You deny that you've written and cashed about 1,500 worthless checks in the last 9 years?
Well, of course I deny it. You're sure you haven't made a mistake?
For sure, ma'am. I'm sorry. You'll have to come downtown with us for questioning.
What's that? Oh, my. It's the cream sauce again. Sergeant, I can't leave the house now, right in the middle of getting dinner ready. My husband would be furious. If you want to talk, can we do it later on?
I'm sorry, ma'am. Afraid not.
But you certainly can't accuse me of doing anything wrong. The folks at the church will vouch for me.
We've got just as many people who say you've cheated them. People who cashed those checks for you.
Quite a few of them, ma'am. 9 years worth.
But that's silly, 9 years cashing checks. I'm sure you must mean somebody else, Sergeant. I've got to get this platter greased. Let's see. Heat meringue upon lightly greased platter here.
Look, we have a record downtown on every single check that you passed since you started, ma'am. We've got specimens of your handwriting and people to identify you. We know what your income is. We know how much that you've given to charities.
Money's got to come from someplace. Is that what the checks were for?
Excuse me, I've got to get this meringue in the oven. Let me see. 275 degrees. Yeah. I hope I put in enough vanilla. I never thought about anyone finding out. I guess I should have expected it, shouldn't I?
Yes, ma'am.
It was all for charity. There were so many of them. Orphanages. Old people's home. Christmas poor fund. And then the overseas relief charities. They all need money. Somebody has to take care of them.
Your husband knew nothing about this for 10 years?
Nothing at all. They were my charities. I had to have money for them. I took money from people who had it and gave it to those who didn't. What do you think, Sergeant?
Hmm?
Was I wrong? Do you think the good Lord will say I was wrong?
I wouldn't know, ma'am.
I only wanted to help the poor like he did. I came to help the poor.
Well, there's a big difference, ma'am.
Yes?
He didn't use a checkbook.
The story you have just heard was true. Only the names were changed to protect the innocent.
On December 18th, trial was held in Superior Court, Department 91, City and County of Los Angeles, State of California. In a moment, the results of that trial.
as Lorraine Lambert entered a plea of guilty to 2 counts of forgery, and the remaining charges were set off calendar. She was sentenced by the court for the term prescribed by law. You have just heard Dragnet, a series of authentic cases from official files. Technical advice comes from the Office of Chief of Police W.H. Parker, Los Angeles Police Department.
Fatima Cigarettes, the best of all long cigarettes, has brought you Dragnet, portions transcribed from Los Angeles.
This is Robert Young. Hear We the People next on NBC.
All right, welcome back. That was, and by the way, Kay Wells, if you want to comment on the show, and we'd love to have a comment, just go ahead and hit the next in queue, and we will go ahead and talk that way. This was such, in one way, it was such a perfect episode the way they did it. They had, the lady they had do Grandma just did a perfect voice. You know, it sounded so sweet and so innocent, and you know, it had to for this crime. You were understand listening how she was able to get away with it. Hello?
Hello?
Go ahead, you're on.
I've never done this before. This is a good show.
Oh yeah. What do you think of that voice? You know, it.
You know, I enjoyed the voice, especially since I read the book by Michael Haiti, and it talks a lot about Friday working in old lady voices like his mother, and some of them were done by very young women, and you know, it would just kind of crack him up when they were on the radio talking about, you know, having this young thing being his mother, a 28-year-old woman sounding 65. The gal on today's show sounded very, you know, like everybody's grandma.
Yeah, you mentioned that the mother was, yeah, they you know, they got rid of her on the TV show because it just didn't work on TV, because
right.
They had to have an actual older actor. But yeah, that was something. I'm actually working my way through the Haiti book. I'm almost done. I'm up to the second chapter on the 1960s series, and it's really interesting. One thing that he pointed out in here, I didn't actually point to, but when you go into the appendix in the back, it lists all the TV shows, and for the first six seasons, nearly every episode was based on a previous radio script.
I noticed that he was a good recycler.
Yeah, efficiency, you didn't have to use the plots. The good news is, you know, since most of the TV shows are not going to be seen thanks to, you know, being locked up at Universal Studios, on the radio shows, we can kind of get a picture of what we're missing. But, yeah, it was, and then, of course, you know, they did that whole conversation, you know, customer just broke into the middle of, you know, the investigation with a conversation about, you know, about her kids. And, you know, it was, you know, it's, you know, one of these little things that they just did for realism, either that or because they didn't have enough time in the rest of the script.
Filler, right. Yeah, I enjoyed that, though. I think that makes it, because I'm not sure police today would sit there while a lady tried to finish dinner and talk to her way. You know, they'd say, ma'am, could you stop? We kind of have some important business. But could you stop and talk to us instead of waiting on the customer? But, yeah, it just sort of, you know, we're patient. We have all the time. We're going to get this done.
Yeah, it is. So it's like, you know, when other people do fillers, you know, we'll say, okay, we'll blow something up now. But with Webb, it's like, let's make things a little more real in the time. And that's the one way he gets things to fit. One other comment, actually this is a blog comment, from Sola Scriptura. Thank you so much for your continued commentary and hard work bringing us this classic series. I had a few suggestions about your commentary, but as I've listened, other people have made them, and I must say that your presentation and insight have improved over the past months. Keep up the good work. I know I work from home for the time being, and this show has helped me to pass the hours at work before I get married next week. And congratulations to you on getting married. I don't expect that the podcast cast made it, you know, in the stuff that got packed for the honeymoon. But again, congratulations on that, and thanks so much for listening. All right. Well, any other thoughts on the show before we go ahead and wrap it up?
You know, I think that this one reminds me of a few others that they did, but it kind of also reminds me of a movie called, I think it was Catch Me If You Can. It's starring Tom Hanks and Leonardo DiCaprio, and kind of showed that in the 60s or 50s, it was kind of easy to pass bad checks, and you could spend yourself into a couple of $1 million if you weren't careful. So I think the plot line is interesting.
Well,
as far as, you know, how it's easier to do now than it would be nowadays, I think, hopefully.
Yeah, and I actually work in financial services, and it used to be a lot easier just because of the processing time of the checks. It could take up to 9 days, say if you're writing a check from the East Coast, for it to process. This has been, you know, greatly simplified, so generally it's just about a day or two. If you get it in, you get it deposited, you're going to see it coming out of your account one way or another. And so you don't have the same level of check fraud crime. I mean, you're going to have a few bursts of it, but the person who passes a bad check, they're going to find out about it a lot quicker. But, you know, with the 1950s technology, they were at a huge disadvantage. The police officers weren't being able to catch these people, particularly just the people who wrote one or two bad checks, because, you know, it would basically be, you know, the trail would go cold. You know, if they were a forger, then, you know, they'd probably do more. But, you know, it had to be a ton of work there back in the 50s. So, all right.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate it. It's nice not to actually just be talking to myself through the whole thing.
Well, we appreciate your show, so keep doing it.
Thank you so
much. We'll keep calling in. All right.
Thanks so much. Much appreciated. And as always, you can check out the blog, leave your comments, and at dragnetradio.blogspot.com. Also, feel free to email me, adam@adamsweb.us, and keep those votes coming on Podcast Alley. Appreciate everybody so much for listening in, and please feel free to join us. We are here live and happy to take your comments on the show, and catch me with you if you can. It was a very interesting connection. It's kind of like, you know, when I think about it, I've been meaning to see that movie, you know, but from what I've heard it described, it kind of seems like almost like a tribute to the old criminal that you don't see anymore. The guy who actually was featured in that movie did actually become a consultant towards the end of his life, helping, well, he's still alive, but he became a consultant helping companies avoid the bad checks. So, all right, well, and thanks so much. Orlando is late, but that's, you know, that's appreciating. You can chat back in the chat room as well. But we will be back next Saturday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. We will see you then.